You know, Paul, there's only two types of people in the world. The ones that entertain and the ones that listen to Snap Pod.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Snapped. As usual, I'm your host, Paul.
And I'm Pete.
And this is your weekly dissection of music's greatest hits, hidden gems, and cultural resets. Each week, we dive deep into a different album to try and convince you that they truly snapped. And today, all ears are on us in the center of the ring, because we're talking about Circus. Woo! And of course, we are talking about Britney Spears' sixth studio album, released on November 28th. 2008 by Jive Records. Spears started work on the album in March of 2008 with a range of producers, including longtime producers Bloodshy and Avant and Danger.
Let's clap for them because they know how to make a bop.
They do. They were heavily involved in Blackout and now they're back for another hit album.
Yes, and this album consists of mainly electro pop and dance pop sounds. And the album, of course, received positive reviews from critics and had heavy comparisons to her previous studio album, Blackout. And also, as she always does commercially, the album performed well, especially in the United States, where it debuted atop the Billboard 200, selling over 500,000 copies and 814,000 copies in the first week worldwide.
That's amazing, yeah, very high figures for Britney in a time where music was really falling off of becoming on CDs. She sold a lot of physical copies and it felt like a really big time for her in this era as well.
For sure.
Yeah, the feat even earned Spears a place on the Guinness Book of World Records due to her becoming the youngest female artist in history to have 5 number one albums.
And I think also this is the second album since Baby to have 2 top 10s and 3 top 20 hits. The album even gained a Grammy Award for Best Dance Recording for the song Womanizer, but she did lose to Gaga for Poker Face, but we'll just forget that.
Yes, and the album has become her biggest selling album since In The Zone, selling over 8 million copies combined of digital tracks and over 4 million copies worldwide physically. And what do you think the concept of this album was, Pete?
Well, I think the concept for the album Circus is basically, you know, a circus.
The concept for the video Circus is basically about, you know, a circus.
Britney herself commented on the album's title. I like the fact that you're always on the edge of your seat when you're at a circus. You're never bored, you're just really engulfed by what's going on around you, and you want to know what's going to happen next, and we did.
Yes, and Circus was initially scheduled to be released worldwide on December 2nd, 2008, which is actually Britney's 27th birthday. I cannot believe she released all of her albums prior to being 27 at this point. Being 27 myself and having no albums out, that's kind of disappointing. Feels like she was ahead of the game. However, after unauthorized online leaks, websites began streaming the album early on November 25th, a whole week beforehand, and the album was then officially released 3 days later on November 28th.
It just goes to show you that even 14 years ago, we were getting leaks, not from Google Drive, but I don't know, from
Tesco's warehouse. Yeah, literally, I can imagine people like sneaking into the back of HMV or something and ripping open the box with a flashlight and taking it home to upload online. I do remember this is the time where a lot of people knew someone who worked in a particular record store. They would give them a copy early and then it would just leak online a week earlier than potentially it was supposed to when they got the stock in. So I think even moving to digital made it more difficult to leak versus easier.
Mm-hmm. I was actually reading that Circus wasn't even supposed to be an album. So like during the initial stages of planning before the title or concept or anything, it was confirmed that she was going to re-release Blackout and take advantage of promoting Radar as the fourth single, which we'll get into later. But it was supposed to include 4 new tracks, remixes and a DVD, but it was cancelled because they wanted to work on her new image and start an entirely new project to permanently end the Blackout era because there was a lot of negativity about it. Not from people who have taste, but... So I think Circus was created to kill Blackout Britney and give her a more pop chart palatable main pop girl move rather than the right turn that is Blackout.
Right, for sure. To me, it does feel more like a B-side to Blackout in many ways. Like kind of the younger and bubblier sister of the older and more rebellious teenage sibling in a lot of ways. With the use of Radar, as you say, as a single, really carrying through that legacy on Circus.
I think in order to do that, she had to go back and record with collaborators that she trusted and knew that from her earlier in her career. She even stated that Circus marked the longest time she'd spent recording an album, adding, "I think it's more urban, dot dot dot. I'm writing every day, right here at the piano in this living room." And of course, she loves to hype up her own stuff, so she said that this album is her best work to date. And I don't know if she's right or wrong. We'll find out when we learn a bit more about what's going on in this Circus universe.
Right. It's super interesting to me specifically that she says that Circus was the longest time she spent recording an album, given the fact that she started recording it in March and then released it in November. So it goes to show how quickly her albums kind of rolled out from conception all the way through to being on a shelf.
Yes, so this is coming after Blackout, which before that there was a hiatus. I don't know how long was that, Paul?
Yeah, In the Zone came out in 2003, so a 4-year gap in between, though she released the Chaotic EP and other stuff like that in the meantime. So we did have other pieces of music in there. We had the My Prerogative Greatest Hits in 2005, which had some new songs on it and some singles. We also had the Remix album, which has And Then We Kiss. So there wasn't a big stretch of time where we didn't have any new content from Britney overall. Felt like she was constantly in the public eye and in people's ears, which is a really big difference between now, where we haven't actually had anything really from 2016 when Glory came out.
Definitely, and she also has had two kids in the meantime.
True, she was pushing out babies and bops, so I mean, I have to commend her for that in this period. I think she was definitely working really hard to put out a lot of great stuff for her fans, and from any of the interview bites in this era, her two main drivers are her children and her fans. And this album does feel like a love letter to her fans in a lot of ways, which is why it really resonates with me. And now it's time for our first advertisement break. So go rush to the refreshment stand, grab your popcorn. The show is about to begin.
Wanna catch your poppy in the act? He keep coming home in a blur? Try our new multi-pack of reversible Chic and Go wigs. Comes in black, blonde, red, and much, much more. From Alias to A-list, Sydney Bristow has been found rotting. Now your multiple personalities will look so fly that he'll want to F-U-C-K you and Amy.
The lights are dimming, we're back from our break, and she's about to start the show. And in 2008, Britney started with Womanizer, the first single from Circus.
And what an incredible lead single it is.
Definitely one of Britney's crown jewels in her arsenal at this point. But on the 26th of September 2008, she drops the lead single, and it just becomes a worldwide hit right away, breaking records for registering the largest jump to number one on the Billboard Hot 100 after debuting at 96 the week before. Just a side note, that really is just because she released it right at the very end of the streaming week the week before, so it couldn't get any sales. I don't know,
Yeah.
there was a weird marketing choice there, but
And she found a way to get to 96.
right, exactly, because some people are only 96 on the bubbling under, so that went well. But that was really good. And she did storm the charts. You know, it was her best-selling single in the US since her debut single, Baby One More Time, 9 years ago. So it was an absolute smash hit.
It's such a full circle for her debut to be the same record as her comeback.
Exactly. I think it's such a good marker for the public interest really coming back on Britney's side. This is coming after a time when Blackout wasn't as much of a mainstream success as I guess a lot of Britney fans would have expected it to be. And Womanizer really cemented her as a chart-topping artist once more, and I couldn't be prouder. I remember so distinctly when the song came out, it was so good. I really obviously love Blackout. I was such a Blackout fan, but to see Womanizer do so incredibly well made me so proud of her, because it was clear she was putting her all into this specific song. It kickstarted the entire era. And I think the music video really was the reason why it was as popular as it was at the time as well.
The song itself is such an earworm, but the music video just sticks in your head. Like, how could you ever forget it?
Joseph Kahn doesn't really miss. I mean, he's still going today. Ava Max is Ava Max is Maybe You're the Problem music video wasn't quite as impactful as this one, but it's still really good.
I would disagree, but that's for another episode.
But yeah, Britney actually thought of the idea for this music video herself, and she sort of wanted it to be a sequel to the music video of Toxic. In the documentary for it, she says it's Toxic 2.0, but even better. And even seeing the joy in her face when she's thinking about it shows that she's really involved in the decision-making process for this music video. It portrays Spears as a woman who disguises herself in different costumes and follows her boyfriend through his daily activities to expose him in the very end. Very reminiscent of Toxic with the multiple wigs. The red hair wig comes back, and it's just a cute nod for anyone who has been a fan all the way back from 2003.
And the video, of course, did well. It was nominated for two categories at the 2009 MTV Video Awards and then went on to win Best Pop Video, which is deserved.
100%. I mean, it does also show her in scenes naked in the steam room as a response to the attacks she'd received over the years about her weight. And she just looks unbelievable in it. But also, she just looks so happy. There's a mischievousness about how she portrays the different characters in this video. Specifically, her dressing up as Karen from Finance in the office scene, I think, is so cool with that little, like, bob wig and glasses.
Okay, now wait just 1 second. Glasses.
And overall, I just have to get behind a music video about just ending men.
Now, unfortunately, there is an enemy of the pod and an enemy of the fan base who Paul still has a bone to pick with over comments he made on The Extra Factor. Paul?
I just remember watching Britney on X Factor back in 2008 perform Womanizer, and it's such an incredible performance. She gives really good choreography. She like whips Louis Walsh around in his chair and does like a hair flip at him. She just looks so good and back in her form. And then James Corden goes on the Extra Factor looking like Booba the Wheel and saying, oh, the contestants are all better than Britney Spears. The song sounded great, but I've already got the CD, so I don't really need to see someone come out and mime it. Here's a group of people not trained, not sold 5 million albums, not all that stuff, coming out and singing live every week and being judged really harshly. Mimes a sort of half-arsed performance of the thing I just watched it going, you're still a bit mental. I was so pissed when I remember being like to my dad, he is a horrible human being. I just could never get over the fact that he was making fun of her mental health, making fun of her performance when she was really coming back and slaying the stage. And I'm like, you wrote like 12 episodes of Gavin and Stacey and you think you're an A-lister?
This coming from the career of a man who has built himself up to start playing gay men and taking gay men roles because he's fat and flouncy, he needs to get a life.
I really wish Britney was behind the wheel of the car that James Corden stopped dressed up as a mouse before Cinderella and just knocked him down, because I think the worst of it is, you know, Britney brought her two kids to see Cinderella and was clapping along because she really likes him. I just feel like it's so disingenuous the way he behaves, and he definitely seemed happy enough to grab her back for Carpool Karaoke in 2016 to get those views on YouTube, but we'll say nothing more about that.
The next single from the album Circus is actually a song called Circus.
Is basically about, you know, a circus,
which is a bopping banger. Number one. Number two, one of Paul's favorite Britney songs of all time.
Top five for me, for sure. It is so euphoric.
Well, top five is correct because it debuted and peaked at number three in the US, becoming Spears' second top 10 hit from the album. So she's album six out the gate.
Finish line, no time to wait. Two bops down.
Two top 10 hits in the album and another incredible music video. The music video received positive reviews from critics, but was actually criticized by PETA for featuring cruelly trained animals. However, the exhibitors have denied these claims, so PETA, don't come for us.
It's not her first run-in with PETA after her draping herself with a snake for the I'm a Slave performance at the VMAs, but we know Banana was treated well.
We need to know the names of the two elephants.
James Corden's one of them.
Which I was shocked to find out are actually real. I thought they were CGI'd.
No, they really just rolled them in and just...
And you know Britney was feeding them peanuts. She was so excited for them to be there.
Yeah, she was. The behind the scenes shoot for this music video particularly is just a joy to watch because she's having fun putting makeup on her assistant, playing games on a phone while they're waiting for the fireworks to work. She just has a really good time on set and really bonds so well with all of the people helping her out to make the music video. It feels like such a team project and she's so thankful. So you know she thanked the elephants as well.
There's so much behind the scenes footage of them doing incredible dance to which they were just down to little snippets.
Right, I do have some criticisms of this music video, none of which are Britney's fault. The editing is rapid fire. I mean, I don't think a single frame lasts longer than a second, so it's very difficult to hone in exactly what she's doing. But tell a lie, the only frame that does last is the advert for Bulgari at the start.
Oh my god, yeah. Product placement queen.
The product placement lasts 10 seconds, but her dance moves get a 0.1. I find that so disappointing because it's clear she's going off. She really is showing everybody that she really is the dancing queen of pop at this point.
And that scene in front of the fireworks, she just looks incredible. Her body is snatched. Her hair is amazing. It took them a couple of goes to get the fireworks to go, but When they finally did.
It was worth the wait.
Yeah, it was definitely worth the wait. And actually, fun fact, this is her second best-selling digital song in the country, having sold over 3.1 million copies. But that isn't the only accolade that this song holds.
Right. That's right, yes, Pete. I really loved this song when it came out. I actually think it's better than Womanizer, though I don't think it's as chart-friendly. But what it was friendly for was my French visual project at 14. So I'm sitting there in French class.
Are you happy to be in Paris?
Oui.
We're being tasked to make a Windows Movie Maker collage of different French landmarks, so like the Eiffel Tower, the Montmartre, the
Arc de Triomphe.
The Arc de Triomphe. And you had to overlay it with a French song, so it would be like La Vie en Rose, or
Je ne regrette rien,
or something from Moulin Rouge. And then literally I'm like, circus. 3 minute 20 second video of me just literally transitioning between different French landmarks with the song Circus playing in the background, and I made every straight person in that room listen to every single word. And that's why she got 3.1 million copies. I was doing promo.
That was
fighting for gay rights, mm-hmm. And people were killed.
Someone was killed. I'm surprised I wasn't killed. Coming after Circus is the third single, If You Seek Amy, which peaked at 19 in the US, so not quite to the accolades of Womanizer and Circus, but still does really well. It did cause a lot of controversy, though, for its double entendre that is interpreted as F-U-C-K me. Fuck me. Spelling it out for anyone who doesn't get it. The concept of If You Seek Amy is fuck me.
Oh.
Again, this song really has a cultural moment for me. I remember when it came out on all of the news outlets reporting that Britney was trying to indoctrinate young children into being overtly sexual. Britney cannot escape this messaging of her being such a sexual person.
And she couldn't be less sexual if she tried.
Exactly. These people clearly have made no attempt to get to know her as a person. Watch any documentary, any interview. Britney literally had a chastity ring on with Justin. Well, I'm not going to mention his name, but, you know, she really is not she's not an overtly sexual person. And I think the media just views women that are empowered and independent to be harlots.
It's so unfair. Like, she really takes solace in her faith and she wants to raise her kids correctly and support them. And then the media is portraying her as if she's a slut and wants kids to fuck each other. It's like, what?
And that's why I really love the music video for If You Seek Amy specifically, because it really is a fuck you to everyone who thinks that Britney's saying fuck me. You know, it's like she really is leaning into the fact that she can be both someone who is sexually free, not sexual, and also like a housewife. You know, when she plays the housewife with the pie and
apple pie incoming,
the media waiting outside for her with her like nuclear family to walk out and give an interview. She can be both roles and neither of those are wrong. Yeah, and a fun fact about the music video is that it was directed by Jake Nava, who previously worked with Spears for her My Prerogative music video. Another really good big music video. He does a really good job with that. Again, I really like it. I think of it. And I also really want to make a quick point. I think it's super interesting that The Script, a UK band, in the exact same year as this, releases a song called If You Seek. And there is literally no media discourse about that at all. No one literally talks about that being a double entendre or a swear word or anything of the sort. So, I mean, if you need a more glaring example of the hypocrisy of the media and the sexism, look right there.
I mean, I don't think the media talk about The Script regardless.
I mean, that is true. That is the luxury of being a Z-list celebrity, is that you're probably not going to be talked about.
The final signal. Great.
Signal juice.
The final signal.
This is me.
Not
with
Bradley.
Brandley.
We want to welcome you.
The final single from this album is the iconic Radar, which was originally included on Blackout and is the through line between these two albums, because it was supposed to be the third single, but Break the Ice was chosen instead for Blackout. The song was then supposed to be released as the album's fourth single, but then was scrapped because Britney Spears started working on Circus. Radar itself lives in infamy as such a misstep for me, where no other artist or album would release a track from their previous album as not only a bonus track on their new album, but a single as well.
It's very unusual. I remember the track list was announced and it sits as a bonus track on the standard album, a concept I still don't understand. I don't know how it can be a bonus to something that is...
standard?
Yeah. I don't get how it can be a bonus on something that is standard. Then it's just part of the track list. Like on the back, it literally has the first 12 songs, 1 to 12, and then no number, bonus track, Radar. The only thing I can imagine is that there was some contractual deal with the producers that it was going to have to be a single. And because they didn't do it on Blackout, they had to release it then for a single as part of the next project, which then would be Circus. And I also think the timing of the albums releasing 1 year after the other makes it a bit more seamless. You know, maybe Radar would have been released as a single at the same point in time if the Blackout era had lasted longer. But even still, it feels so messy to release it as your last single.
From your new campaign?
Right. It just feels jumbled, completely jumbled.
And it is strange that you would put that much effort and time into the song, promoting it, and then give us the most plain, flavorless music video, which is all about men playing polo.
I don't want to see men do anything.
Britney looks incredible, and there is a legendary legend, aka Radar Horse, but RIP, but...
There's not a lot else there. And for all of that, for it to just chart at number 88 on the Billboard Hot 100 really feels like a waste of everybody's time.
Yes, because there was a fifth single planned for Mannequin, but I think they just saw that it was over and they were ready for the next project.
It would have been very strange for her to release Mannequin after that, for me as well, because it would have been like jumping back into Circus. Again, very similar to me, how Dua releases Love Again from Future Nostalgia after already putting out an extended version with more tracks. Then to go dip back into the album makes it unsure of what era we're really sitting in. So I really don't get what the point of it was. It doesn't really do very well anywhere except for in Venezuela, where it tops the pop rock charts.
As it should. Yeah. Radar is an incredible song, but for me it just feels like the tether holding these two sister albums together, but I don't know why.
Even sonically, I don't think it fits very well on Circus.
No.
It does have more of that grungy Blackout vibe, the like dark in a club vibe where, you know, Circus is big, grand, bright. And to end with Radar on the standard album feels weird. To end the era with it as the last single, even weirder. Okay, it is time to play a game of Snapped and Flopped now. Just want to make it clear. Now, I think we've given a lot of love to the singles. The singles from this era are incredible and we really dove into those. So for Circus, we're going to exclude those from the Snapped and Flopped just because I feel like there are an abundance of really incredible songs on here that I want to give the love and attention they deserve. I mean, if we were talking about the singles, I feel like Circus would be all three of my Snapped. So we've got to give love to something else. That said, there are some songs that we're going to put in the Flopped category. Pete, I'm going to hand over to you to start off though.
In this house, we worship at the altar of Britney. I can't explain to you how much we love Britney Spears. We are here for every Instagram post, every fragrance. We will buy it.
Project Rose. I don't know what it is, but I want it.
Claps for Project Rose, but some of these songs are skips, and that's okay. And we are not criticizing Britney in any way because I would fight the person who did. But we want to just talk about the songs on this track list that we just don't vibe with. It pains me to start this Flopped with My Baby, but I think we can all agree. Tiny Hands are not for me.
Yes, that's true.
Britney loves nothing more than her kids. Literally nothing. I don't think she loves anything more than her kids. And it really does come across in this song, first and foremost. The song is very cute. I'm not a mother, so I can't comment on it.
Okay, you're giving us like a shit sandwich here. So like you've put the first piece of bread down.
I just feel bad, but it's just a very remedial song. It's obviously co-written by Britney because I don't think you could get anyone else to write a song about your own kids. I'm very happy for her, but when Circus was released, this song was not exactly well received, even being labeled as a clumsily phrased love letter to her sons. And everyone loves to take the piss out of the two lines where she says, "I smell your breath, it makes me cry." It's kind of unintentionally hilarious and also moving, but I will be moving on from the song when it comes on shuffle.
It's so hard. It is really difficult. No, and her vocals are like, I think her vocals on this song are probably the best of the entire album at some points. She does a run at the very end that is beautiful and very moving. But, yeah.
We're moving on from it.
But yeah, we're moving on from it. And I will take over with Mpapi, which is definitely my flopped of the album. Brittany, talking about the song, says, sometimes it would take 10 minutes to write a song, like the Spanish twang song called Mpapi. Now, Madonna may have shown that it only takes 4 minutes to save the world, but Britney took 10 to pen this flop, unfortunately.
Oh my god.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself. I really don't enjoy this song. The lyrics of the song tell about a woman who has an attraction to a man, longing for him to come and take her away. I actually really do like some of the lyrics and concepts in that song, though. There's one where it says, stuck in the middle of it all, too many people around me, can you hear me call? The lyrics I really love there. Talking about worries that she won't find a man with all the media scrutiny and attention swirling around her at the time. And this really is the peak of all eyes on her in the center of the ring, you know? Like, this does make sense with the concept of the album, of being watched and being criticized and pulled apart. And in the For the Record documentary, one of the key things Britney gets across is she really wants to find a man, a father for her children, potentially a new child. So I actually really understand why she did this song. And I do like the Spanish influences, and I feel like it does stand out as being more distinctive. Whereas I think that My Baby is a bit more just simplistic and doesn't stand out. This does stand out for me.
But for the wrong reasons.
Exactly. And I do feel, like, I just want to say I feel really guilty for picking two of the four songs that she actually co-wrote as flops. And I actually would nearly consider Rock Me In here if we had an additional song to fill, which she also co-wrote. I feel really guilty. But Britney's a singer and a dancer, and she's written some really good songs. But for me, these two, not so much.
I really feel like we need to come back and rebrand as Snapped or Skipped, because they're really not flops. They're just songs that I would go,
next. Exactly, and let's skip right then over to the Snapped.
Paul, it's time to kill the lights.
Hey, who turned out the lights?
Oh no, I'm surrounded in darkness.
Britney grabbed the paparazzi by their metaphorical throat and gave us a futuristic, sexy sequel to Piece of Me, which landed at number 11 on the Bubbling Under charts. But what an incredible song. The song actually begins with a quote from Orson Welles' infamous radio adaptation of Roar of the Worlds, which is all about aliens coming to our world.
I feel like that's very similar to the music video, to be honest. Like that, I can see the theme there in the music video.
There's definitely a through line of aliens in the strange animated music video, which you definitely need to watch. For some reason, I feel like there's some sort of sexual connotation, because this is all about Britney sick of the paparazzi. She goes to another planet in her hover car, question mark, and the gear stick of that hover car really looks like a penis. And she goes to this alien world, which is covered with creatures who are like lights, so when you walk past them, they turn on, kind of emulating camera flashes. And she's like, oh fuck's sake, not again. She's trying to escape the paparazzi, and she's now on paparazzi 2.
Yeah, and she like takes off in her hovercraft and then uses a Death Star to blow up the whole planet. Like, she ends the paparazzi.
And all the little aliens look like sperm. I don't know what's going on with that, but
it's like in The Little Mermaid, where everyone says that the castle that Ariel lives in is like a massive penis. Have you ever seen this? I know Walt Disney is back to kill us again and come back from the grave. But there are so many like phallic imagery in Disney movies if you ever look it up on YouTube. And I definitely feel like the person who animated this was inspired by that, because you're right, that gear stick is a big willy.
Not DisneyDick.com.
DisneyDick.com. Right, I don't want anybody to take that idea and run with it, because that'll be very lucrative.
Well, speaking of lucrative, this animated music video was packaged with Circus Fantasy, an exclusive fragrance from Britney, and was also played in a scene where two cast members are talking about another legend of pop, Heidi Montag, on season 4 of The Hills.
Right, like they should have been playing dramatic featuring Britney, one of Heidi's unreleased bops, but that's again another episode.
And Britney isn't a stranger to the animated music video, as Break the Ice from Blackout was also an animated video. I think her interest in this comes from one of her sons is really into anime and loves to draw, and Britney loves to show his drawings because he's a little artist. But aww. I think she thinks it's really cool. I think she thinks it's really different, and
It was really cool. It's going to be really, really exciting. Very cool. It was really cool, really interesting, and very cool. I think it's really cool. It's just really cool. Okay, cool. Really, really cool and exciting. Very cool. Really cool. I think they're very cool. Pretty cool. Really cool. Bible song. It's really different and interesting. I think they're very cool. I think that would be very, very cool. So,
for this music video, it was a fanfiction contest, which was launched on her website, where the winner of the contest would get to see their story become a plot. So I think that's really cool, really involves the fans, and appeals to all ages.
Totally. I just find it a bit weird, though, that it has a music video and it isn't a single. I wonder, was it maybe intended to be the fifth single or the fourth single or something? I don't know. Or was it just something fun for the fans to get engaged in? But I also think she could have just stuck it out as a single at this point after Radar and there was a music video accompanying it. But again, another kind of a misstep in that rollout for me personally.
Listen, it's something fun, something for the summertime.
Speaking of something fun, let's talk about phonography. So for this snapped, I'm pulling from the deluxe version of the album, one of the songs that didn't make the standard version. This is just such a fun, grungy pop song in an era where mobile phones were only being created. She really said, Steve Jobs, let me take that phone and let me have sexual discussion. And I really feel like she was ahead of the game for that. It includes a lot of really fun wordplay. She says star 69, call me back, which is like in America where you would dial star 69. That would call back the person who rang you before, but it's also like 69.
She knew what she was doing.
It's cool. I love that. I feel like that's better than Gaga's 69 retweet comment from GUI. Just showed you sometimes being simplistic is more effective. Even just things like, oh, I let my mind roam, roaming, you know, talking about speakerphones. So cool.
She's a linguist. She knows how to bend words.
But I just feel like it's so cute. She's really like learning about how to use mobile phones while making a really solid bop about it. And it preludes other bops such as Telephone, which is actually penned by Gaga for Britney. And Last Call by The Saturdays, another great song.
Who says that?
Yeah, I don't think anyone's ever put Phonography, Telephone, and Last Call by The Saturdays in one sentence, but that's what we do here on SnapPod. And all these songs are about hitting somebody up on the phone. I just think it's really fun, something you can dance to and isn't too serious. Definitely should have been on the main album for me, and was one that when I got my copy of the deluxe album, always had on repeat.
Another song that definitely deserves to be put on repeat is Shattered Glass. Sorry, Shattered Glass.
Glass. Eh.
Another Catch That Cheater in the Act anthem. Was it really worth it? Was she everything that you were waiting for? Does it feel like a man? Britney said, toxic masculinity is here. You're not a man. This song is loved by not just me, because for 1 week in 2008, the song did debut at number 70 on the Billboard Hot 100, being the first and only Spears main album track that wasn't a single to debut on the chart, which I think is so impressive.
Definitely. I mean, Radar peaked at 88. So for Shattered Glass to get 18 tracks higher than that at number 70 is really cool.
I just love the tempo of the song. I love the modulation on her voice. I think it's just really cool, really forward thinking. And I think you can almost see the femme fatale coming.
Yes, it does definitely give me femme fatale tease. One thing I really hate when I look at reviews of this album are people saying that Britney's voice isn't strong and she's relying on auto-tune or vocoder or anything like that. It's so clearly intentional. I mean, she records one of the bonus tracks from Japan, which again is definitely a snap trouble in the documentary for this album, and you can hear her singing. She's hitting every note, her voice is perfect, but the song is a pop song. They're putting it on for effect. It's meant to be robotic. It's supposed to be jarring. That's the intention. I really hate when people criticize her for that.
It's incredible. Like, she just records it in the documentary and then at the end goes, is that the end? And then they go, yeah. And then she just grabs her handbag and then it's away.
She's a seasoned professional at this point and just creating an amazing song. And again, I definitely think it could have been picked as the fourth single rather than Radar. There are a lot of songs on here that could have just been pulled. And I really don't understand why this wasn't one of them.
Clear the clowns. It's time for the second ad break.
Welcome one, welcome all, every gay, they and them, to the Cirque du Soleil. Meet us under the big top for a night of incredible feats, including the bearded couple, weightlifting twink, and someone who can swallow more than just swords. We have it all. As gays, we're all clowns, so you should always expect a circus.
A clown. That's clown shit.
Honk my red nose if you want to go faster. It's time for the Snappies.
Woo!
Coming live from the big top, we have our first award for cringiest line. Paul?
Yes, so for the cringiest line, I am dipping right back into Mpoppy, my pick for the flop. One of the lines here is, "Now see, I'm mommy, and that makes you poppy, and that makes us lovey." Oh, it gives me the ick. I don't know why, I really don't like that line. There's kind of like a sassy delivery to it, which is kind of cool, but it's weird. And I can imagine her writing it. You know, she did write it in 10 minutes after all. And maybe could have done with a few edits.
She was definitely like Alyssa at the table going, oof,
oh, oh. Oh. She thought she gagged the girls with this one. And she is a mommy, and I love that. And speaking of Poppy, let's head back over to Pete for weirdest fact.
Ew, Michelle. There are so many weird facts about this album, so I had to pick two. So going back to the single If You Seek Amy, it was actually renamed and re-edited for radio as If You See Amy, which spells out fuka instead of fuck. And the physical single then gained a parental advisory warning, but the edit actually removes the chorus. So the song is nullified and made redundant with a name that doesn't make sense. It's just such a strange move. Especially when we think about how the script did the same thing and no one moved. The man that couldn't be moved or whatever that is.
No, please, not the homeless anthem. We can't say that. Oh. Do you remember that? That was the point of the video. I'm please. Not saying that's it. It's true.
And I've got to reference such an iconic moment from a video where in the DC tour date of the circus tour, Britney decided to wish her fans Merry Christmas at the end of the concert. When the tour was in March. Merry Christmas! And everyone was like, okay, she's officially lost it. But it was only because she lost a bet with one of her dancers, so she had to say it. She's a good sport.
Yeah, she did say a lot of things at the circus tour that maybe she shouldn't have said, oh. Including about her pussy hanging out. But hey-ho. She didn't know the mic was on and it was hanging out, so
she queen spilled. Of facts.
Yeah, she spilled out. Oh!
What was that? Now, if I was at the Britney Spears tour with my pussy hanging out, what would I buy at the merch stand?
Well, Pete, you'll be covering it up with our pick for the ugliest merch, the Britney Spears mask, which is like, it's hard to describe it. We will post a photo on our socials, but it's sort of like a masquerade mask covering her eyes with like plumage coming out of it. It looks extraordinarily cheap, like these purple feathers coming out that you would get in Home Bargains or Party City for £2. It's very cheap, but if you want to actually grab one of these right now, they're selling them for £35 on eBay. So it just goes to show that maybe a lot of people didn't buy this.
Britney Spears mask is actually my grinder name.
Not gimme whore. That's what I'd be looking for.
Gimme.
I want to blow. I want to blow. Oh my god, there's so many. Till the Hole Ends. No, Till the Hole Ends. No.
Remix.
Not Twist the Remix. Oh my god. There are so many. Britney has so many good titles for grinder names now. We need to get on that.
Not us, the Swingers.
Trapezes weren't the only things that were swinging during some of the live performances. Pete, what was your favourite live performance from this era?
Well, you know, every pop star dreams of performing at the Bambi Awards, so...
Did she not die?
Her mum.
Oh no, it was her mum.
R.I.P. Mrs. Bambi.
Is this an award show celebrating Disney's movie Bambi? We need to get away from Disney. We're cutting ties from our Disney
the
association.
The ice cracks are multiplying.
Not Disney being the villain in Stranger Things season 5.
They're the villain in Snap season 1.
Not our arc.
Walt Disney won't be the only one spinning when the big metal ball rolls out in the Bambi Awards 2008. Britney is giving her all at this bizarre award show. Can we actually look up what the Bambi Awards are for? Oh, to recognize excellence in international media and television. And the award is literally a Bambi.
Yeah, it's so cool. I don't know if she's ever won one, but...
Well, she should have won one for this, because she's giving it her all in one of her rare live performances outside the tour.
Yeah, this was the first live performance, actually, of Womanizer, and it really did kickstart my excitement for the album, which came out a few days later.
There seems to be a subtle imagery of cages throughout Britney's career, I think. And this ball is to no exception. She... climbs on it right at the end and they roll it back and she just strikes a pose and we all have to bow down.
And it looks incredible. She's in this like sheer bodysuit with like some black paneling and a black circus top hat. It just looks incredible.
And speaking of her looks, what about your favorite look
There are so many in the circus here that I really enjoy, but I have to give it to the circus tour's ringleader outfit, which is kind of akin to the outfit she wears in the circus music video. She actually even has a Funko Pop in this outfit that I desperately need to add to my collection. I really do feel like such a local with my toxic one sitting behind me, so I need something a bit more niche. And there's also an exclusive Chase version of the Funko Pop that you can randomly get by ordering it. And it comes with a cowboy hat on her head as well, which I think is so bizarrely random. She wore it for one live performance on the tour randomly, just a cowboy hat. I don't know why. And they decided to create this free to purchase. I just think it is what I think about when I think of the circus era, is her in the ringleader outfit. I don't really think of the album cover too much, though I think it is strikingly beautiful. But I think you couldn't sum up circus any better. I will give an honorary shout out to my second favorite though, which is her on the trapeze with a crown, looking so beautiful, and the clouds are behind her. She's perched with a bedazzled bustier, and she's just looking right into your eyes when you really look at it. She's so striking. There's a sense of confidence and a sense of purpose in this era's looks more than Blackouts for me. I think it's more elevated in terms of high concept.
It's just such a fun era. There's so many fun tidbits and looks, and I feel like she is enjoying it despite everything that's happening in her life. Let's dive a little bit deeper into the tour when we come back in the studio.
And we are back in the studio to talk all about the circus tour, which ran from March to November of 2009.
And one of us was actually lucky enough to go to this tour, and it was not me.
Not the lucky promo. Yes, I was very fortunate to attend the tour when it came to Dublin, Ireland. And it was really cool. The stage for this tour is actually composed of three rings, and it's set in the round to resemble an actual circus versus at the end of the arena where it normally would be. And it does tell a story of Spears starting out as the ringleader and then moving right through to being a slave at the end of the show. I think it does tell a very moving story. The tour itself, though, was a commercial success. It grossed $131.8 million throughout the months that it was on, and is Britney's highest grossing tour of all time, which I think really puts in perspective how big in the media she was at this point and how people were really supporting this era as well.
She was so big, and even when you look at who her support was for the North America tour, it was the Pussycat Dolls as an opening act. Like, she was really dominating. Oh, well, no pun. Oh. But who was the opener for you in Dublin?
Right, yeah, unfortunately there were no opening acts in Dublin when I went to see it, though they did have the Big Apple Circus performers on first, which really set the tone. Unfortunately though, Tinsley Mortimer was not there to open the show for us.
Welcome to the Big Apple Circus. Now, on with the show.
A really niche reference for fans of the Real Houses of New York, but she would be very proud to know that the Big Apple Circus was touring the world.
And also, strangely, when looking at the set list, there's only four singles from Circus, and those are the only four songs she performs from the entire album on the Circus tour.
Right, she performs more songs from Blackout 5 than she does of Circus at the Circus tour, and she didn't even have If You Seek Amy or Radar as a single at this point either. So it was really signposting where she was going to go.
Yeah.
With the singles afterwards too. Like we were saying earlier as well, there were a lot of really funny sound clips that came out of this tour, a lot of stuff that went viral on Twitter at the time. And during her performance in Vancouver, she actually halted the concert during Radar. And then at the very end of the show, claims that the arena was too smoky due to spectators smoking marijuana and cigarettes, saying, get home safe, don't smoke weed, rock out with your cock out, mother truckers. Like, she's taking it very lightheartedly, and a lot of fans find it really funny. Now, though, looking back, it's actually really unfortunate and sad, because we've kind of learned after a lot of the Free Britney trials that she was being continually drug tested. I needed to test negative on those in order to see her children. So it just shows you kind of that even though she was clearly having a lot of fun, there are some darker and unfortunate times ahead of her that thankfully now she's hopefully through. And also, unfortunately, were some of the reactions from people around the shows. Yeah, before the first of the Australian shows, the Minister for Fur Trading for New South Wales said that she was aware that Britney would be lip-syncing during the concert and was considering to include disclaimers on promotional materials and tickets to say this. Now, the tour director, Steve Dixon, defended Britney and said, "This is a pop spectacle. This is a show band show. You come for the full experience. There's a lot to see about the show. There's nothing like this in the world, and Britney will entertain you." And having seen it myself, I could not agree more. There are so many incredible feats that were performed at the show. Britney's doing magic tricks for Toy Soldier. She is going up in the air for Touch of My Hand. There just feels like an overall level of spectacle that's involved. And wrapping up, my favorite part of the entire tour is the very start where Paris Hilton is doing the video introduction to it. And Britney shoots a bow and arrow and like shoots him in the head. And I think it's such a clever nod that she's involved in to say like, this show is about fuck off media. Don't write anything bad about me. You know, I just want to have fun. And I definitely feel like that's what the overall theme of this album is as well.
Yes, unfortunately, as is with any Britney Spears media, and especially as a fan living in 2022, it is hard to separate your feelings for the songs, the eras, the videos from obviously the Free Britney movement, which she succeeded.
Yay.
And is finally living the life that she deserves to live and has deserved to live for so long. One of the key touchstones for this is the documentary Britney for the Record, which we've talked about in bits and pieces, but I think it's important to watch and is also very harrowing to watch. As fans who have supported her for so long, it's so hard, especially I know for Paul, when we are watching it, really, it's so nostalgic for him, but it is also hard to separate it as, oh, she must have had a bad day, to, oh, she was living a nightmare and they were allowing her to document it. It's sort of sick. Like, her dad is in the documentary and she's joking with him, but you know just how rotten that relationship has become, and definitely there are signs of it in this documentary.
Yeah, the specific line where she says that she feels like she's a prisoner, but at least prisoners know when their sentence is going to end, is so sad that that's in 2008. You know, that was 14 years ago. It took far too long for anything to change, and the warning signs were there that, you know, there was a lot going on behind the scenes that was really unpleasant. But they're mixed with scenes of her being joyous and hanging around people that she really loves and having a laugh and enjoying her job. Like, she loves this music. She loves the music videos. She loves dancing. Oh, that's why it really pains me that we can't see her dance in the Circus music video like that, because she is so talented and that's her therapy. And the documentary is definitely a must watch if you haven't seen it before. It's 60 minutes and you definitely won't regret it. It provides more of an insight into this era than we can ever sum up, because it's from her viewpoint.
Yeah, it really documents the relationships between her and her assistants, her dance choreographers, her dancers. She just wants to have fun. She wants to go shopping. She wants to try clothes on. She wants to live a normal life. I think one of the most special moments is when she is auditioning the dancers and she's so keenly watching each one. She wants the performances to be amazing. She really marvels at all different walks of life and different types of dancers and different techniques. And she really just loves what she does. And it's so heartbreaking to compare that to how much they want to talk to her about her relationships and what's going on in the media, when she really just wants to talk about the music, and then she wants to kind of go away for a while and live her life, live with her kids, be happy, and then come back when she feels inspired. Whereas I think she's, for so much of her career, she's been put on a conveyor belt of more songs, more songs, more songs, that it really must suck the life out of you, especially when you're being criticized by the media every single day.
Right, and so many of her songs allude so much to this as well. Piece of Me, Kill the Lights, even the music video from I Wanna Go and Femme Fatale, there's a lot of imagery of just wanting to break free from these cages. The performance of Piece of Me on the Circus Tour is her literally in a cage trying to break out.
Which is why the imagery for the Glory Deluxe is so powerful as well. With her covered in the chains that she's broken free from, unfortunately not factually in that era, but for now she can spin, she can post Pinterest photos and everyone will like it and everyone will support her, and we really just hope for the best for her, because these eras that we want to talk about are eras that are so important to us. Even thinking about this as a trilogy, I think Blackout, Circus and Femme Fatale are so strong and so powerful. Her sound is just so amazing and she just is so skilled at what she does. Everyone who interviews with her says how nice she is, especially in the documentary. Madonna sings her praises. She really feels maternal towards Britney, signaling that she is where pop music will go and has remained.
This era, as you sort of said, means so much to me. I was 14 and I came out when I was 15. I was literally just about to reveal to everybody who I was, and Britney was doing that to me. these songs really are her not really caring what anyone thinks about her anymore, and is really just her telling her story. That's why it's difficult to criticize any of these songs, because they are so deeply personal to her, and they're so personal to me. Then, I mean, my mum and dad took me to get Circus Deluxe. I remember going after school to buy it. It really does cement that piece of my life where I was being formed and being informed by what I was watching. And a kind of funny tidbit, when I did come out to my mum and dad, my dad said that I couldn't possibly be gay because I had posters of Britney Spears up in my room. How little did he know.
I mean
she is very attractive, but you know, I just find this era so brave for her. I feel everything she's done is so incredibly brave, and as you say, we fully stand behind her and everything she goes on to do.
Yes, and obviously, as we've said, the next album in her discography is Femme Fatale, which has so many influences, but is especially influenced by the use of autotune and vocal effects, which you can see so many glimmers of here. And despite all the criticisms of, oh, she can't sing, oh, she needs help, oh, she's miming, Femme Fatale is such a strong body of work and is for sure going to show up in a Snap season coming to you soon.
And I'm just so glad that we had this Circus era, because it's really nice that she was able to make music that we all loved and we showed out in droves to celebrate and purchase. I'm glad it was such a success for her.
And I think we should end with a quote from the intro for Kill the Lights, when Dane just says, our very own pop princess, now queen of pop, has a special announcement she'd like to make. And boy, did she make one.
Thank you so much to all of our listeners for tuning in to this week's episode of Snapped Pod. Follow along on our socials at SnapPod for some exclusive content, and make sure to tune in next week for some more pop goodness. I've been your host, Paul.
And I've been Pete.
And see you next week.
Bye.